This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
If you've been out on the streets in Vancouver recently, you've probably noticed at least one of the 3 new free daily newspapers that have just been launched in the city. And if you haven't been given a copy, you can't have missed all the new newspaper boxes. But doesn't it strike you as strange that after all these years of slow evolution, we should suddenly have not just one, but 3 new daily papers? Charlie Smith has been following the introduction of these papers and writing about them. Charlie Smith is the news editor of the Georgia Strait, and he's joined me on the phone this morning. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Peter.
So now, all 3 papers seem to be targeting a young crowd. Are there style or content differences that obviously distinguish them?
Well, they all have lots of celebrities, but beyond that, I think you could look at the Metro, which is a joint venture of Torstar, Canwest Global Communications, and a Swedish company, Metro International. That's a little more like a conventional newspaper in the tabloid shape. The Dose is a little smaller in terms of the way it's laid out. That's a Canwest product, and that is more like a magazine for young people, even though it's on newsprint. And then the 24 Hours, which is Jim Pattison and Quebecor. It's more like a little bit more like a supermarket tabloid with news, but lots of celebrities and a little more of a female skew.
So now, is it a coincidence that they've all arrived on the scene at the same time?
Well, you can blame the Olympics that there's going to be a lot of advertising, perhaps in Vancouver in the coming years. That's because there are a lot of sponsors who want to get their message out. But one of the reasons is they all have different reasons for doing this. One of the Metro is a very aggressive Swedish company, and they were going to come to Vancouver with Torstar, which is owner of the Toronto Star and Harlequin Books, and they're both billion-dollar corporations. So Canwest had a concern because one of its major kind of money generators is the province. So you come in with more of a conventional newspaper that can perhaps take away some of the advertising from the province. So Canwest gets concerned. So they come up with this product called Dose, which sows a bit of confusion in the market. And this happened in Chicago with the Chicago Sun-Times putting out its own product to respond to the Chicago Tribune's product targeted at young people. But then at the last minute, Canwest and Metro and Torstar did a deal where they were one-third, one-third, one-third owners. So then Canwest also had its Dose product out. So now Canwest owns 4 daily newspapers that are distributed in Vancouver, National Post, Dose, Province, and Sun, and then they're one-third owner of a fifth, which is the Metro. The third one, 24 Hours, which is Jim Pattison, and with Quebecor, which is a big Quebec company, I think that one is a little bit peculiar in that Jim Pattison joined the board of BCE, which owns Bell Globe Media, which includes Globe and Mail and CTV Network. If you pick up the 24 Hours, you'll see the CTV is promoted throughout the thing. And to me, that one is perhaps the most interesting in that it looks like Jim Pattison has formed an alliance with BCE, and that could pose some trouble for Canwest down the road.
I think I'm going to get back to the BCE connection there, but sticking with Canwest at the moment, and so they've got 5 competing products in the same market.
Yes.
How would this be in their interest?
Well, it's partly over time whether Dose and Metro may divide up Canada, and they may stop distributing in one city and the other in the other city. I'm not sure. The other thing with Canwest, though, is it's going through some changes of its own because it has a $3.2 billion debt, and this has been a big problem for them to absorb because they bought the papers from Conrad Black at the top of the market in the summer of 2000. So there's a lot of talk in the investment world about Canwest, which also owns the Canwest Global TV Network, spinning off its newspapers into something called an income trust. So that would generate a lot of revenue for them to pay down their debt. It's also possible that they may get out of the newspaper business over time and sell off some of their papers to another buyer. So there's some, it may not be in their interest in the short term, but over the long term it may not matter so much to them. They can also promote their television operations through all these different papers, and they can recycle content because they also own the Vancouver Courier, North Shore News, Now papers, Delta Optimist, and just a slew of community papers as well.
That's quite extraordinary. Now, as you were mentioning, the 24 hours seems to be the odd one of the three, and I'm interested in exploring how that fits with Quebecor and Patterson interests. Now, you mentioned CTV, which of course we know as the TV station, but what's BCE? And maybe you can expand on some of those interests.
It gets very complicated, and you need a scorecard to follow all the players.
Absolutely.
There are about five huge media corporations in Canada. You know, you've got Shaw, you've got Canwest, maybe six. If you throw in Torstar, you've got Quebecor. But you also have, and Rogers, and then you've got BCE, which owns Bell Canada. So it's basically a telephone company, and it was huge. And they went and they bought the controlling interest in the Globe and Mail, and then they bought the CTV television network, and they folded it together into this company called Bell Globe Media. So BCE, the phone company back east, also owns the Globe and Mail and the CTV television network. So what gets interesting is BCE bid on the Olympic rights domestically from the Vancouver Organizing Committee, and they paid a whopping sum to be the official telecommunications company for the Olympics, and they beat TELUS. At the same time, CTV bid a whopping amount, more than double what CBC bid, to get the Olympic broadcast rights from the International Olympic Committee. So this company, BCE, is invested heavily into the Olympics, and they want a payback. So they want to increase their presence out here. So the Globe and Mail has hired a couple of Vancouver Sun people. CTV is... one of the problems they've had is the Canwest Global television news has maintained a huge ratings lead over CTV, even though CTV spent a lot of money, hired Pamela Martin, hired Bill Good. So now you get Jimmy Pattison joining the board of BCE. Suddenly Jimmy Pattison joins up with Quebecor to create this publication, and you see CTV television personalities popping up in the publication. So Tamara Taggart, the weather person, is there. Chris Olson, the consumer guy, is there. You see back pages with ads of Pamela Martin and Bill Good. So that what they're trying to do is use this new publication to promote CTV in the same way Canwest uses its daily papers to promote its television news.
So really then what you're saying is a large part of it is sort of jockeying for market position in the run-up to the lucrative Olympic advertising market?
Yeah, and that's because what's going to happen during the Olympics, you've got international sponsors like Coca-Cola and McDonald's and Samsung, so they're going to want to be plastering ads throughout all over the place, but I think in Vancouver and in Canada. And then you also have domestic sponsors. And the domestic sponsors, I think what's going to happen, and this is speculation on my part, but the sponsors are all going to be doing deals with one another in these partnership deals. So BCE is in heavily into the Olympic enterprise. We'll see whether Pattison companies get sponsorship deals with the Olympic companies, Olympics as well, and then they all start drinking from their own bathwater, and the money starts circulating between them, and then everyone else is on the outside.
Very interesting. So now, getting back to the sort of what newspapers are at least in theory about, are they stepping into some sort of news vacuum in Vancouver?
Well, my sense is there is pent up demand for journalism in Vancouver, and I think Co-op Radio is filling part of that vacuum. But I also I don't have a lot of faith in corporate media to really take on major issues, whether it's particularly involving, say, the U.S. administration and its overseas activities. I don't think that they will kind of challenge the status quo in terms of this deep integration with the U.S. I think the climate change continues to be underplayed in the corporate media. I don't see that changing with the proliferation of a bunch of free publications in Vancouver.
So now, I suppose one final question that really comes to mind to me here. Are we witnessing some sort of shift in the newspaper industry away from the more traditional subscription-based publications, you know, like the Mail, Sun, and Province, to these new freebies?
I don't think so. It's early to say. You may be right, but I think what this is an attempt to do is young people, generally speaking, are not reading the daily papers. And this is a problem for newspaper companies around North America. So the theory, at least, and it's a bit early to see how well it works, is to put out free papers, and it almost gets them in the habit of picking up a newspaper, and then maybe they'll graduate to the broadsheet. So you've got, in Boston, for instance, the New York Times Company has done a deal with Metro to put out kind of a free commuter daily paper. The problem is sometimes these papers make mistakes because they're put out fairly quickly. Like the Metro locally had a front page story where they were describing the RAV line as $1.2 billion project repeatedly. Well, it's $1.72 billion, and I was thinking they're $500 million off. The CanWest Dose yesterday had an article where Rachel Davis, this young woman who died in Gastown when she was trying to stop a gunfight, they identified her father as William Davis, who's the actor who used to be on The X-Files, when her real father is a man named Bruce Davis, who's done quite a bit of kind of community work in terms of dealing with bars and guns and issues like that. And I think if they make mistakes like that going forward, they're not going to have a lot of credibility, I don't think.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time out of your morning to speak with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I've been talking with Charlie Smith. Charlie Smith is the news editor of the Georgia Strait.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.